much Genesis chapter 46 tonight. Genesis chapter 46. We've been studying through this Old Testament book together. We've come to chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46, we'll just read verse number 1, get our title, put the pedal to the metal, and go forward. All right, Genesis 46, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Israel," that's Jacob, "took his journey with all that he had, came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac." Notice the language, Israel took his journey. And tonight I preach to you on this subject, Jacob's journey. Jacob's journey. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought with you. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Challenge us from your word. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean. I pray that you manifest your presence among us tonight. Help us to feel your sweet presence among us. We pray for the will of God to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to Genesis chapter 46, we see it's been over 20 years since Joseph's brothers have sold Joseph into slavery, hoping never to see him again. All throughout that time, Joseph was being prepared by his great God to be placed into a high position in order to help sustain his own family during the years of an awful famine. Now, when these brothers first came to Egypt, we've already preached on this, you can go back and get it, but when these brothers first came to Egypt, they had no idea that they were standing before their brother that they sold many years ago. Joseph took his time, if you remember, proving these brothers to see if they were the same as they were back many years ago. And after several tests and Judah's offering to become a slave in the place of Benjamin, we saw that Joseph could contain himself no longer. He revealed himself to his brothers and called them to come close to him. He then commanded them to go home and to get his father, which is Israel, which is Jacob, and their families, and come back to Egypt where he would there take care of them. Now, as we come to the end of chapter 45, we saw how Jacob at first did not believe the report of Joseph being yet alive. However, when he saw the wagons that Joseph sent to carry him in, the Bible says his spirit revived and he realized that his boy, whom he thought had been killed by a wild beast, was truly still alive. And as we come to the end of chapter 45, he says, "I will go and I will see him before I die." Now, this chapter before us deals with this journey that Jacob took from the land of Canaan through the desert to get into the land of Egypt to see his son once again. Now, it's this journey that I want to dwell on in this service. Because as we notice Jacob's journey together, there are three major things included in this journey that we can all get some practical help for our own lives from. So as we consider Jacob's journey, I want to give you three things associated with it and then apply those things to our lives. Number one, Jacob's journey, first of all, we notice its recognition. It's recognition. Look at verse number 1 and following here. "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." See, the first thing we notice about Jacob's journey is that Jacob right here is taking his journey to see his son Joseph. But yet the first thing we notice about his journey is how when he came to Beersheba, he stopped and he took time to offer sacrifices to God. Now, it's been said that Beersheba was the last stop before leaving Canaan. Canaan is God's promised land, so Beersheba is the last stop before stepping outside of the promised land and entering into the desert on his way to Egypt. By the way, listen to me. We can only imagine the anguish that Jacob had gone through while he sent his youngest son Benjamin down to the land of Egypt without knowing that Joseph was the one he was sending him to. He had already seemingly lost Joseph, and he thought he had lost Simeon, And now he had the potential of losing Benjamin. But in the distance, the day came when he saw these sons coming back to him, and they were finally coming home. And no doubt when he saw that Benjamin was among them and Simeon was among them as well, he was grateful. However, he had no idea how good his day was going to get before it was over with that day. He also found out that his son Joseph, whom he loved so much, whom he thought that a wild beast had killed over 20 years prior to this meeting, he found out that Joseph was still alive and in high position in the land of Egypt. When he heard this wonderful news about his son being alive, you would think that he would have been in a major hurry to get to him. By the way, no doubt he was in a hurry to get to him. However, well, what a point this is. Even though he was so anxious to see his son's face, it had been over 20 years, and he thought he'd never see his face again, you see, on this earth. But we see in this opening part of his journey how he purposely stopped before continuing on his journey to recognize God. He purposely stopped to sacrifice to his God. See, the Lord had been so good to him, you see, and wanted to show right here, Jacob wanted to show his appreciation to God. He wanted to show his submission to God, and in this act of giving sacrifice to him, we see that he's showing that he's acknowledging his great God. He's showing he's dependent upon his God, and he's showing he's seeking God's guidance and approval before he ever takes a step outside of Canaan land. See, what he was doing is he was putting God first in his journey, friends. And he was offering sacrifices before making any further plans of his own. He truly wanted to know the will of God in this journey before he went any further. You know, we can all learn a great lesson here. If you had a son or a daughter that you thought had been killed over 20 years ago and you finally find out that they are now in California or they are now in Florida or they are now in Africa, whatever the case may be, listen to me, many of us wouldn't think a thing about packing up and going, but Joseph teaches us a great lesson here. And the lesson is this: you better make sure every step you take is God appointed and God anointed. He's taking time in his journey here to recognize God. See, in this, we see how the journey we take in this life should include our purposeful and intentional stopping along the way to show our appreciation to God for his great goodness to us. We should be willing to sacrifice to him, submit to him, and seek his guidance and approval for direction in the way we're going. As a matter of fact, Dr. Clarence Sexton put it this way: our gratitude to God, or lack of it, reveals the place our Lord holds in our lives. When Jacob got to Beersheba, he got out of those fancy wagons and got on his face in the dirt and said, "Before I go any further, before I leave this land, as eager as I am to see my son Joseph, as rapid as my heart beats with the joyful thought of seeing his face, I'm going to thank the Lord for making this possible." What could have been more important than seeing Joseph, friends? What could have been more important than seeing Joseph at this time? The thing that was more important was thanking the God who made it possible. That's what's more important. Let us never be guilty of going on in our journey without taking time to stop and recognize God. So, and show appreciation to him, seek his guidance, seek his approval, and show him sacrifice. It's interesting that once Jacob stopped to sacrifice to God and to seek his guidance, that God responded to him by speaking to him. God came to him, the Bible says, in the visions of the night, and called his name twice. Here's a great Bible study for you. I may do it myself. Look up every time God calls somebody's name twice. That's a great thought. Because when God calls your name twice, he's saying, don't miss this. This is vitally important. And here's what I'm saying. Jacob said, "Here am I. Jacob was saying, listen, God, before I go any step further, as eager as I am to see my boy, I'm going to stop here purposely. I'm going to take time to sacrifice to you. I'm going to take time to seek guidance from you. I'm going to recognize you in my journey. I'm not going to take a step further until you give me the okay, until you give me the green light. And once he submitted to God and thanked God, God spoke to him through his word. And Jacob said, here am I. You know what he's saying? He said, whatever you tell me to do, my answer is already yes. God said this. He said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. In this we see God, through his word, gave Jacob courage, assurance, and guidance. The name that God gave him where he said, I am God, that's the name, his designation of saying, I am the omnipotent God. I am the mighty one who's able to fulfill his covenant engagements. Jacob wanted to know God was with him in his journey, and God assured him that he would be. And Jacob knew that he would be safe as long as God's presence went with him. You know, in this we see how God reveals his will to those who seek his will. A majority of times, he reveals his will through his word. He will speak to those who want to know his will. And it is through the word of God that we for bringing me to this point in my life. Let me tell you what we need more of. Thankfulness. Sacrifice. Seeking God's guidance. Instead of just going off in the way that that just seems right, we need to purposely stop every day of our life and build an altar to God and give him what he deserves. Number one, it's recognition. Number two, we notice its record. Now, I'm not going to take the time beginning in verse number 5 all the way down through verse number 27. Matter of fact, let's just read a couple of these verses and you'll see what I'm talking about. Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons' sons with him, his daughters, his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. In verse number 8, he says, these are the names of the children of Israel. And all the way down through verse number 27, we notice a record of Jacob's family. Majority of those were those that took this journey with him. It brings out in the later verses here, towards 26, 27, I'd have to go back and look at it, but it talks about Joseph and his family already in Egypt. But the point I'm trying to get across is it gives all these names, verse 11, Gershon, Kohath, Merari, all these names, this record of names that's given here. And you know, the point I'm trying to get across is this. In these verses, where we see Jacob is taking this journey to get back to see Joseph, we see that God purposely, under the inspiration of his Holy Spirit, had the human penman to literally write the names of these people that were with him. Somebody says, why in the world would he do that? As a matter of fact, as you read these names, you may be tempted to skip through them without any thought about who these people are. The name Merari may not mean anything to you. These names may seem a bit monotonous to you. But I want you to listen to what J. Vernon McGee said. By the way, I highly recommend J. Vernon McGee. He's with the Lord, but I still recommend him and his books and his written materials. He said it really as good as anybody can say what I'm trying to get across. Here's what he said. In Jacob's genealogy, there are names that mean nothing to me. In watching the news on television, I saw the crowd of young people at a rock festival, a mob of about 200,000 dirty, filthy folk. They may have needed a bath to begin with, but it had just rained and they were covered with mud. And as I looked at them, I thought, God knows each one of them. And God loves each one. They're not thinking of him, but each one is precious in God's sight. And Christ died for each one. He goes on to say, my friend, here you are in the midst of a great population explosion with literally millions of people around you, yet you are an individual to God. And the names of those listed in Jacob's genealogy are people whom I don't know. Candidly, I'm not interested in them. But God is. He delighted in putting their names down because they were His. You know, friends, the world may not know who you are. And the world may not care to know who you are. But God knows who you are. And you are very special to Him. You know, it is through this list of people in Genesis chapter 46, this list of people that goes down along with Joseph and his children, this list of people, it is through this that God formed the nation of Israel. And it is this group of people that His only begotten Son would come through. Here's what I'm saying. Even though these people seem meaningless and we just skim through them like, just get me through this chapter. I mean, get me to the good stuff. Yet we see in these names that the Holy Spirit had them included for a reason. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. This world may not know my name. But I know somebody a whole lot bigger than this world who knows my name. And I know somebody a whole lot bigger than the world who loves me and cares about me, and I'm special to Him. His name is God. Hey, He treats the masses with greatness. But I'm going to tell you something. He's been pretty good to this individual too, friends. And if you look at your own life, just you as an individual, hey, the world may not know you. Somebody else does. You're important to Him, friends. I don't care what you think. I don't care what life is thrown at you. Hey, the devil tries to make you think you're a nobody, that nobody cares, nobody loves. Hey, that's not true. God made you. God created you. And God loves you. We get that thought from the record of names. Number one, Jacob's journey, it's recognition. He wanted to stop purposely and recognize God in his journey. The record in his journey just shows the importance of these individuals and how even though the world doesn't know them and even though they don't mean much to us, they mean a whole lot to him. Number three, let me show you, not only Jacob's journey, it's recognition, it's record, but number three, let's notice its reunion. We see this in verse number 28. Notice that the Bible says in chapter 46, verse 28, "And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph, to direct his face unto Goshen. They came to the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." We have come to one of the most moving portions in the entire Word of God. The day came when Jacob was going to arrive in the land of Goshen. The Bible says that Joseph made himself ready. And according to my study, that word ready there, where he made himself ready to present himself, that word present himself is in all of his glory. He decked himself with all of his glory. And the Bible says he went up to meet Israel, his father. Friends, it's left to our imagination. It is left to our imagination what that dad and that son must have been feeling at the moment when their eyes connected. I mean, this is the son who was the favored son. Like it or not, he was the favored son over 20 years ago. This is the son who had the coat of many colors. This is the son that the brothers sold into slavery and dipped his coat of many colors into an animal's blood and tried to trick their father, which they did, in thinking that that blood on that coat was Joseph's blood. This is the son that he thought was dead for over 20 years. And he finds out that this boy of his that he loved so much was still living. He goes to Egypt. And the Bible says the day came when they met once again. The Bible says that when they saw each other, that he, Joseph, fell on his, Jacob's neck. And the Bible says he wept on his neck a good while. We don't know how long this weeping took place, but we know it was a good while. Notice that in that verse, in verse number 29, that there's not a word mentioned. Not a word. Just tears. Just weeping. What a moving scene this must have been. This is truly one of the precious moments recorded for our reading. Now, when we think about the reunion between Jacob and Joseph, there are two ways I want to apply that to our lives today. Two ways. Number one, under this, I want to apply it this way. Let me deal, first of all, with our attitude towards our parents. In other words, what can we learn from this reunion? Well, the first thing I want to apply is Joseph's attitude toward his daddy. Friends, listen to me. Joseph loved his father. Joseph honored his father. Joseph cared about his daddy. And let me say this to you. I don't care how old you are. Even if your parents are in the grave, your attitude towards your mom and dad should always be one of utmost honor, friends. You say, you don't know what they've done to me. Wait a minute. The Word of God has spoken about the parents. And God has clearly said in the Word of God over and over again, honor thy father and honor thy mother. The Bible talks about obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience is action. It's what you do. Honor is attitude. In other words, I like to illustrate it this way. My son's here tonight. If I look at my boy and I say, Judson, I want you to go clean your room, and he says, what? What? Okay. By the way, I'll kill you if you ever do that, son. Okay. And he runs in and he slams the door. And he cleans his room immaculate. I mean, it's the cleanest it's ever been. He obeyed his daddy in action. But he dishonored his daddy in attitude. In God's eyes, it's both. And what I'm saying to you is this. If you don't honor your mom and daddy, I'm talking specifically to teenagers and children tonight. If you don't honor your mom and daddy, listen to me, friends, that is disobedience to God. Let me say this to you. There may be many here tonight seeking a mate. Hope you're not actively seeking a mate, but you could be seeking a mate, you teenagers, and all of these things. Let me give you a great criteria for the one that you choose as a life's mate. You see how they treat their mom and daddy. If they dishonor their mom and daddy, if they belittle their mom and daddy, if they spit in their mom and daddy's face, they'll do the same to you. They'll do the same to you. I'm going to tell you something. My mom and dad's still living. And I love them. And I care for them. If I know my heart, I'm trying to honor my parents. I'm trying to do that. Let me tell you why. Because it's what God told me to do. And it's what God's told you to do too. Exodus 20 verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What I'm saying to you, I'm not asking, is your mom and daddy everything they should be? They're human beings. If your mom and daddy has treated you like garbage, God will judge them for that. God will take care of that. But at the same time, God will judge you for what you've done with His commands. See, no human being gives us the right to disobey God. Do you understand what I mean by that? In other words, somebody says, well, I'm not going to do that because they don't deserve it. Does God? Who's told you to do it? God has. Has He ever mistreated you? Has He ever done you wrong? No. The fact of the matter is this. God wants children to honor their mom and their dad. If you're a mom and dad tonight, Would you say amen to that, please? If not, friends, you got mental problems. Is there any parent here who wants their child to dishonor them? If there is, let me take you outside and slap you around a little bit, you know what I mean? As long as you don't slap back, you know what I'm saying? There's no parent here that wants to be dishonored. God wants you to honor your parents. Secondly, there's a second way that we illustrate this and apply this reunion, not only to honor your parents, but secondly, we learn from this not to waste time with one another. Don't waste time with one another. It had been over 20 years prior to this reunion that these two parted company, not realizing that it would be over 20 years before they would see each other again. Now thank God they were reunited. Thank God for that. But consider all the lost time among them. Along with this, we know, now get this, we know that there are some who don't get this opportunity to be reunited. There are some people who are permanently taken away from one another on this earth, and there is no hope of a 20-year reunion down the road. The fact of the matter is this, no one's promised tomorrow. See, there are God's children today who have the mistaken idea that if their heart is right with God and everything's perfect and they're obeying the Lord, that they're going to live to be 115 years old. But may I tell you and remind you tonight that Proverbs 27:1 is written to every single human being. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The fact of the matter is every day God gives us is a gift to be treasured. And we are not to waste time. Teenagers, going back to your parents, you're not going to have them forever. Hey, husbands, wives, you're not going to have each other forever. My wife's at home tonight. She's really, I honestly covet your prayers for my wife. She hides pain very well. She really does. I would not mess with my wife, I'll be honest with you. She hides it very well, but she can't hide this. She's in misery. She's listening. She told me I look so good to her today on all this kind of stuff. I'm not asking for any thoughts on that or second opinions. And I'm not saying that we live in fear. I'm not saying that we bite our fingernails. Oh, who am I going to lose today? Oh, that's not of God. It's not of God to live in fear. That's not of the Lord. You don't have to say, well, oh, no, what something's terrible is going to happen. That's not what that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is living in reality. Live in reality. God forbid it. God forbid it. God forbid it. Some of you have gone through this, and God bless you. May the Lord help you. I hope I never have to go through something where I get a phone call that takes the breath out of me. I hope that I don't suddenly lose my wife or suddenly lose my children. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not promised that it will not happen. I'm not promised that. You're not either. It is silly to waste time. Let me ask you a question. With your marriage tonight, if you're married, can you get closer than you are tonight? Children with your parents, been having a little bit of a bickering story, or you're a little bit mad at your parents because of something that they've tried to get you to do, whatever the case, you don't agree with something they've done. You're holding that bitterness inside. You're angry with them. You're mad at them. And you're going to teach them a lesson because you're not going to talk to them for a week. That may be a blessing to them, by the way. I'm reminded of the story. Tom Farrell tells this story, I believe it is. I'm going by memory. You'll get the basic gist of it. I may have some of the details off, but you'll get the basic gist. He said he was dealing with a lady in her 40s. She was at a camp or something that he preached at, or whatever the case may be. Again, I may have some of the details off. And she was really dealing with something. She was an older lady. Not that 40s are old, but I'm saying older than a teenager. I protected myself there. He was dealing with her, and she went back to her teenage years. And she said, "What I'm dealing with is the way I treated my daddy." She said, "My dad was trying to put rules down on her, whatever the case may be. She wanted to go out with a certain person." Again, I may have some of these details off, but you'll get the major thrust. And she said, "I was going to leave the house one night, and my dad was trying to keep me from going. He didn't want me to go on that particular trip, and all of these things." She said, "I'd finally had enough, and I'd stepped outside the house, and my dad was standing in the doorway." And she said, "I just turned around and said, 'Daddy, I just wish you'd drop dead.'" And she said, "Guess what? He did, right then, right there, heart attack." And she said, "I've never gotten over that." The fact of the matter is this. There are people who go to a funeral and go to a graveyard and they wish to God they could have one more day. Just one more day. Again, don't live in fear. But God has given you today. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Dr. Sexton tells a story. He said he heard an interview given on the news, this has been years ago, by a young man who was playing college football. His father was a professional football player who took his own life after killing his wife. It was a tragic story because this father had been a hero of professional athletes. After he got out of professional sports, his life just fell apart. And he killed his wife and then in the same night took his own life, leaving four children behind. His oldest son became a football star just like his daddy in a major college in America. And the young man was being interviewed after receiving a distinction for his outstanding performance on the field. But the reporter asked him an unusual question. He said, "If you could say one thing to your father, what would it be?" And that oldest son, who was a great football player, a man's man, they say he broke down, started crying, and said, "If I could say one more thing, I would tell my daddy, I love you. I love you." My heart breaks when I see teenagers who are treating their mom and daddy like trash. My heart breaks when marriages are not where they could be. What I'm saying to you is God has been good to us to give us all another day of life. Let's live it to the fullest. Be honest. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And please, I'm not trying to stick a dagger in anybody. God knows my heart. But there's no doubt in my mind that there's people scattered all over this auditorium that right now you're thinking of somebody, "Boy, I wish I could hold them one more time. I wish I could tell him I love him one more time. I wish I could see his face or see her face one more time." I'm not trying to stick a dagger. God knows my heart, friends. But make sure that you don't waste time. That's how God spoke to me in that chapter. The Bible says in James 4, 13 to 16, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." He's saying, go to now, ye that say we will do this, we will live a year, we will buy and sell and get gain. He says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Why? Because he's saying, you're making plans for the future. You're saying, I am going to live a year. I'm going to buy. I'm going to sell. I'm going to get gain. He said, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's what he's saying in those verses. You don't know what's going to take place tomorrow, much less a year from now. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears and gone. It's there, it's gone. It's there, it's gone. Look at your life, friends. I'm about done. That's my famous lie that I say all the time, but I am about done. Here it is. Take your own life. Look at your own life. Look back at it. Listen to me. You look back, especially if you're an adult here, you look back and say, where in this world has the time gone? Where in the world has it gone? That's life. It's passing by quickly. Every day God gives, let's do the right thing. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Oh, hey, Brother Jack Mosier, he told me today, he said, I'm still on the green side of the grass and doing good. That's what I'm talking about. If you're on the green side of the grass, thank God for it. And don't waste your time bickering. You know what would be great tonight? If some teenagers got right with mom and daddy. You know what would be great tonight? If some husbands and wives said, hey, let's stop all this nonsense and let's be all God wants us to be. You know what would be great tonight? For people to say with their children, with their parents, with their spouse, with whatever the case may be, listen, we have this day. It's the only one we know we have. Let's enjoy each other to the fullest. And before we go to bed tonight, let's make sure everything's straightened out. Everything's fine. And let's make sure that we say, I love you. God willing, I'll see you in the morning. And if God gives you the next morning, you're getting it. Men, you're getting ready to go to work. Ladies, getting ready to go to work, whatever the case may be. There comes a time, mostly in marriages, where you separate sometime during the day. You go your separate ways. Always take the time to say, wait a minute, this could be it. Won't you know I love you? I love you. I'll do anything for you. God willing, I'll see you at lunch. God willing, I'll see you at supper. You getting it? Don't waste time. Jacob's journey, his recognition, he recognized God. His record, God knows these individuals even when we don't. His reunion, let's honor our parents, not waste time with one another. And may the Lord help us with this. Okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They are getting prepared. I want to ask you these questions tonight. Question number one. Are you in the family of God? Has there been a time where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? You're not relying on your good works, your baptism, your church membership, but Christ, Christ alone. If you're not sure that heaven's your home, come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Question number two. Do you need to stop along the journey and recognize God? See, where we're guilty, friends, is that we take our journey every day of our life, and if we're not careful, we will forget to stop and recognize Him. Stop in your Beersheba and offer sacrifices, offer thanksgiving to God. Seek His guidance for that day, His approval for that day. Make sure you're right with Him. That's what we get. Maybe some of you need to stop at Beersheba tonight. Question three. Do you realize how much you mean to God? Taking this from the list of names that were given. You may think like you're nobody and nobody cares. Nobody knows that that's not true. God knows and God cares. And you mean a whole lot to Him. Jesus died for you, friends. He loves you tonight. Question four. Are you honoring your parents? Do you have an attitude that's right with God towards your mom and daddy? Question 5, are you wasting time? Are you wasting time? Maybe husband with wives, wives with husband, mom with dad. Might be mom with child, father with child, parents with children, brother and sister, whatever it is, are you wasting time? Time is so precious. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. If God is speaking to you, if God is dealing with you, that's a blessing. Do business with Him tonight. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take full control. Challenge us with your word. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If God is dealing with you, whatever it may be taking time to recognize Him. It may be that He's just encouraged you with how much you mean to Him. It may be that you have a sorry attitude towards your mom and daddy. Or it may be that you're simply wasting time and God's got your attention tonight saying, don't waste any more time. Time's too precious. However God is dealing with it, you do business with Him. Father, take it, use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, if God is dealing with you, would you come now? As he sings, come now, would you do that?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Come now.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and
still.
Sing
one more verse, Brother Gary. So be it if nobody
else. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege to pray. I thank you for how these chapters speak to our heart. And I pray that you help us to apply them to our lives. May the will of God be done. Please, do your will with us. Keep your hand upon this church. Continue to bless it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, let me give you a couple of instructions. If you're a guest, please take your visitor's card out there. If you are wanting to ride the People Mover, Friday, 2:30, we'll leave the church. You need to sign up immediately out there. And then if you are staying for the Newcomers Fellowship, Brother Gary is walking out there. If you'll follow him, if you're staying for the Newcomers, if you'll follow Brother Gary, he'll take you to where we're going, and I'll be over there in just a few moments, okay? God bless you, folks. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed. If you're staying for the Newcomers Fellowship, we're going to meet in my